good to be with folks here at Hollow Rock again on this occasion of meeting, and hope you'll pray for me and for each other while we try to stand for you. Greatly appreciated the things that the brother stirred up my mind to a lot of thoughts, and I thought, so a lot of times, you know, I don't want to get too distracted in one sense. A lot of wonderful comments, you know, and made me think about some places in Scripture. And I turned over to the second chapter of the book of Acts, where they gladly received the word on the day of Pentecost, verse 41. And they gladly received the word, were baptized. That'd be a novel. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, they received the word and they were baptized. I mean, like, right. It's like you receive the word and you receive it gladly.
Yeah.
The next thing is you get baptized.
That's right. Yeah.
You don't have to think about it for 40 years.
No. Right.
Amen. Yeah.
You receive the word, you receive it gladly. Anyway, you ask 500 questions.
Yeah.
Come and be baptized. It's a life. It's a lifelong learning opportunity.
Yes. Amen.
That's one of the things that you know. And if you know, I hope you like to learn. I do, and about a number of different things. But God's Word is just a never-ending treasure book.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know, brother's talking about how we spend our, you know, well, I don't have enough time. I think it made me think about, somebody one time made the comment, said, and in this day and time, you know, our young folks, you know, they don't have a checkbook. They think everything's online or credit cards or digital or whatever they're doing these days, you know. But a fellow would said this, but most folks have a checking account of some kind. They got, usually. And the fellow says, you let me see your checkbook, and I'll show you what's important to you.
Yeah, right.
You let me see where you spend your time, I'll show you where your treasure is.
Right.
Amen.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yeah.
If you let me see how you spend your time, you see how I spend my time, okay? This is an equal opportunity picking opportunity. But yeah, you watch me see how I spend my time. I don't always spend my time like I should do it.
That's right. Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
And but our treasure should be in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our treasure should be in His Word.
Right, right.
And if you'll spend more time on it, He tells us in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
You want to change your thinking? Get in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Learn to think like God's Word thinks.
Yeah.
And you won't be so easily swayed by the things of this world.
Amen.
You'll learn to have a new way of looking at everything. A lot of the stuff that's going on in the world, it bothers me. Okay, I mean, the sin, the evil, the things that are coming about. But I will say this: for the most, I don't think I'm deceived by what's going on.
Right.
I see what's going on. I see it with a clear eye. And I try to remember that this world is going to be full of trouble and trials always, and it's going to get worse as the time of our Savior coming back approaches.
Right.
I try to look at it in that light and say that, you know, it's going to be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, like it was in the days before Noah, before the days of the flood. And so I can expect this.
Right.
The trouble is, the thing is am I firmly founded enough in God's Word so that I'm not swayed by all of this?
Amen.
That I can stand like a rock in the times when the world is shaken and the ship's being tossed to and fro. So if the Lord will bless me, you stirred my mind up, brother. started to take down a different, totally different path. But I want to turn over to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. There's one particular scripture that I want to get to as we look at this. Yeah, I told brother, lead over brother Paul while he's preaching to you. He said the people want to say, what's the truth? I said, you know, that's the same question Pilate asked Jesus to his face. What is truth? I thought, can you imagine, you know, if he had known I'm standing in front of the embodiment of truth. Full of grace and truth. And he asked that person, what is truth? Yeah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Ooh. Right?
Yep.
5th chapter of the book of Matthew. Sermon on the Mount. I'll go ahead and tell you. I want to get to verse 17 and 18. So the rest of it's just, I don't want to skip over all of this to get to that. Okay? I think the rest of it's too important also. Because Jesus preached it this way.
Yeah.
So we'll start where he started. He called the multitudes together, went up to the mountain, and when he was ready, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and I want us to think about this for just a moment, because we always think of the Beatitudes. It's commonly what this section of Scripture is referred to. And he talks about what it means to be blessed. That word blessed means happy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that for a number of years. But anyway, you know, begin to reading God's Word, and you think about, so be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
And what you know, so today, a lot of people, you know, the best job, the best house, the best car, the best whatever, well, they're blessed. That's not how Jesus defined being blessed.
Right.
And see, our mind is messed up.
Yeah.
Because we haven't transformed our thinking to the Word of God by staying in God's Word and thinking like God thinks.
Yeah.
And that's our lifelong challenge, to learn, to study, to grow up into Christ, which is our head. Grow up into Him. And as we do that, learn to think like He thinks.
Yes.
So that when the world is approaching us, and deceivers are coming, the God's Word is there.
And
you're not so easily swayed. And I'm not saying don't have a job, don't have, you know, there's things we have to do to live, right? I've spent my life, as we said earlier, probably way too much time doing some of those kind of things, you know, and doing that. But he says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, is, not will be, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the, happy are the poor in spirit, the humble, those who are, you know, they're not all about look at me.
Right.
They're not all about, you know, build me up and take me somewhere. They're just poor, humble people that love the Lord. And he says, Jesus said, Charles didn't say, blessed are the poor, happy are the poor in spirit. You know, have you ever seen people that didn't, you know, in the world's goods, they didn't have all that much, and they were just as contented as they could be?
Right.
They didn't have to have everything, but they knew the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
I think back to my grandparents growing up on the, you know, out in the farm in the country.
Yeah.
You know, they worked hard and they labored hard and they looked forward to that. You know, back in those, they looked forward to that one Sunday month when the preacher came, and they all loaded up in the wagon and rode for a mile or whatever it was to go to church. And today we've got air-conditioned heated buildings, and gotta go to church today. Reflect on our attitude.
Right.
Reflect on our attitude. Is it, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall inherit. Blessed are they, for they shall be comforted. Happy are those that are mourning over what? Mourning over your sinfulness. Mourning over,
right,
distressed about,
right,
you know, who you are and what you are by your nature. Those that mourn in this way, he said, they shall. God will comfort you when you're,
yeah,
mourning about your sins.
Right.
When you're, what you're mourning about is not, you know, the latest football team that lost a game or whatever.
Right.
You know, you're mourning about being a sinner that needs God's grace in your life, that needs the Word of God in your life. He says, you mourn about that, you'll be comforted.
Right.
God will send His Spirit.
Yeah.
And you shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, the meek. Jesus is described as the meekest person to ever live on the face of the earth.
Right.
He was humble, poor, didn't go about to try to make himself a name. He'd heal somebody. He'd say, you know, go see the priest. Or don't go back and tell anybody about this. They did anyway.
Right, yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't, right? Jesus had just healed them. But he was like, you know, I'm not looking for you to make a name. I don't have to make a name. I'm the creator. You know, he didn't say it like that. But he was the Son of God.
Yeah.
Nothing he did made him any more the Son of God. He was the Son of God.
Amen.
He was the Savior. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. To just hunger, you know. If I could watch y'all could watch me. You know, sometimes I'm sitting around in the afternoon, you know, and I had a good lunch, you know, for whatever, and you know, 4 o'clock rolls around, it's not supper time, but I'm hungry, and you know, and I was like, well, I don't need to eat anything, you know, supper will be in just a little while, and I sit there, and next thing you know, I'm up headed to the kitchen, you know, do we hunger and thirst after righteousness?
Amen.
Like we hunger and thirst after the food or after the things of this world?
Right.
Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, after right living.
Right. Yes.
Godly living, holy living. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. And you're hungering for it, God's going to fill you up.
Amen.
You're hungering to live that way, God's going to be right there supporting you and carrying you along the way. Blessed are they, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God? Be more pure in heart.
Right.
Happy are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. Seen people that are just as innocent as they can be, and you know, sometimes being ignorant of things of this world is a great blessing.
Amen. Yeah.
Blessed are the pure in heart. Just got a they're looking at people. I've had my life stomped on sometimes because I just thought the best of people. I looked at them and thought, you know, that's brothers in the church, or this, you know. They wouldn't do something like that. Well, they did. But I'd rather have a pure heart and think good of people and other than to always constantly be suspicious if everybody sticks their hand out to shake hands with me. Okay? I'd rather just think good of things. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If we think about, you know, now, this could be a whole different line of the subject or whatever, but if you think about it, Jesus came and made peace for us.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. He made the ultimate peace, and when we're making peace,
yes, sir,
we're acting like Him.
Right. Amen. Right. That's right.
When we're making peace, the brother was talking about, you know, putting away things. We don't need to be fussing and fighting about everything.
Yeah, right.
We need to be peacemakers in this world.
Amen.
So he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted, not because you did something wrong. Persecuted because you did the right thing.
Right.
You know, in this world, all of you, got your Bible? Underline that one about 50 times and highlight it. Because in this world, if you'll stand up for the right thing, you're going to be persecuted. And it's getting worse.
Yep, that's right.
It's getting worse daily, yearly for God's children. But you know what? Jesus said it would be that way.
Amen. Yeah, right.
You do it, you're gonna be persecuted. Go into it with a mindset.
Yes.
I will not be moved on this issue. Amen. Because it's a God issue, not because it's Charles's issue.
Right.
Or your issue. I will not be moved to stand in the wrong place or say the wrong thing or support.
Amen.
Support the wrong lifestyles.
Right.
Because God's Word says it's an abomination to Him.
Amen.
Right? You say, well, I'm going to be persecuted for this.
Yeah.
Let it be.
Yeah.
Let it be. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is. There's another one of those, it is.
Right.
It is now. So I'm talking about, I know Brother Paul's done a lot of preaching on these things. The kingdom of heaven is not out yonder.
It
is, but it is here too. It's here also.
It's at hand.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. Why? Because the king's here.
Yeah, amen.
King's here. King, I trust, is here. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. People may revile you and persecute you. They may have it right. But when they do it falsely, he says, for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. You're standing up for the truth of God's Word. People's... Told Brother Paul last night, I had somebody tell me, said, you know, had heard me preach a funeral, you know, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, I wish I could believe, I wish I could believe what you believe. I thought, well, it's not that hard. You get your Bible out and study it. You'll find it all over the place. You know? But when you're persecuted, when they're reviled and persecuted, and people say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Right.
It's not a new thing. They killed the prophets. They might kill us. But you know what? It's the cause is worth it all.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And I'll say it even, and maybe in a different way. Jesus gave His life for us. If my life is taken, I can't give my life for Him in that sense.
Right.
But if my life is taken in service to Him, what an honor!
Yeah.
I think that's the way the apostles were looking
right.
at it.
Right.
They knew what He had done, and if they died, they were not going to deny Jesus Christ and the work of Christ and what He did on them. They were not going to do that.
Right.
They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to are at a point where it's like, I cannot do that. You may put me in jail. I don't care. You know what? I like the Apostle Paul in a lot of ways, but you know, Apostle said, throw me in jail. It's another evangelism opportunity.
I mean
you're talking about the guy that was positive, that had a positive outlook on life. Him and Silas were singing songs at midnight.
Yeah.
And the Philippian jailer.
Yeah.
You know, how do you do this? Well, let me tell you about my Lord.
Right, there you go.
Let me tell you about my Lord. He is marvelous and wonderful. Anyway. You're the salt of the earth. Brother Clark read some of this earlier in another place. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt hath lost its savor or saltiness. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You know, you got to, and some of this stuff, you need to go back. You know, today we just think about salt on the table, you know, to make our food taste better. But during that day, salt was so important for life, for healing, for wounds, for taking care of wounds, healing in that sense, for preserving meats and all those things. Salt was a really important, you know, we're talking about water and how important water is to life. And salt was right there with that for them to actually have things that they needed. And as a healer, he says, when you've lost your saltiness, when you've lost your ability to be a healing agent, when you've lost your ability to be a preserving agent in this world, you're good for nothing. But to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Now, again, Charles didn't say that. I mean, I read it. Jesus said it. Jesus said, when you quit being what you should be as a child of God, you should be a healing agent, a preserving agent. He said, when you quit doing that, you're good for nothing.
Right.
I mean, okay. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Told the folks back home, I was reading this not too long ago, and I remember hearing my dad talk about that they were living in the days when electricity was first starting to run into the rural areas where he grew up there in Alabama. And, but they had one of these old oil Aladdin lamps. Now, Aladdin lamps different from just a wick,
right?
Because it had a mantle in it. And the wick would feed and the mantle would glow. It was a brighter light.
Yeah.
You know, and they lived on a hill. And he said, people coming, you know, across through there, and said they could see that light from a long way off. And sometimes people would stop in there and want to know, did they have electricity at their house, you know? But a light that's set up on a hill cannot be hid.
Right.
And he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house.
Yeah.
A candle, you know, this day and time, what we know about candles, the light, unless you got the kind that smell good, you know, you want to make your house, so anyway. You know, but the power goes out, and you want to have light in there, you'll find the mantle, you'll find some place to put it up so that the room gets lit up better. Put it in front of a mirror. Double light, right? So you get the extra benefit of it that way. But he says, men don't light a candle and put a basket over the top of it where you can't see it. He says, but they put it on a candlestick that it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light, what light? The light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world that is coming to your life in the new birth. Let your light so shine before men. That'll work, brother. You know, part of that showing. Let your light shine. Let your kindness shine. Let your love of God shine. Let your charity, compassion, peacemaking, all that, and it let it shine in fellowship with one another. Neither let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
There you go.
Let it shine not so that you get some pat on the back of what all you've done, but let it shine so God gets the glory. Think not. Here's where I wanted to get to.
Don't worry about it.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Do y'all ever read the Bible? Like sometimes you read it and you realize at some point in time you realize I've been reading this verse and you just kind of, you know, you read it and you say yeah, but you don't think about it. I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Amen.
Do you realize what all is in that? Do you realize how important that verse of Scripture is? Because if he didn't, well, let's go, let's read. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, the smallest part of the alphabet, a little tick mark, and the smallest part of the punctuation of their alphabet, he says, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So, it might not have all yet been fulfilled. I don't think it has. Because heaven and earth hadn't passed away yet. But by the time it passes away, it's all going to be fulfilled. And he says, I didn't come to destroy. You know, a lot of times we get the idea, we can think about the Old Testament scriptures, well, you know, well, that's the Old Testament. That's hard to understand. The law, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, 21, I believe it says, the law was a schoolmaster.
Yeah, that's right.
To bring us to Christ. Yep. The more we understand about how Christ is pictured in the Old Testament, the more we're going to know and appreciate what he came to do while he was here, because he fulfilled the law while he was here. And I'm not just talking about he kept the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about he filled up the law. He completed it, if you will. He was, you know, so you go back and you begin to look, you know, well, where would you start to look and think about fulfilling the law? Well, I want to go to a couple of places. And there's more here. There's enough preaching. Some of you preachers, y'all will tear into it because there's plenty here. So in Leviticus chapter 23, he says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say concerning the feast of the Lord. So there were three spring feasts, one kind of midsummer feast called Pentecost, and then there was also the three fall feasts that were. Established by the Lord, and they were to keep these feasts year after year after year. That was especially how the law was kept. Now, on a daily basis, you had the priesthood. The priesthood was doing daily sacrifices. The high priest was going in. We can get to that a little bit. The high priest was going in once a year, making an atonement or a. The word atonement simply means in the Old Testament, the word that it's translated from is also, this is interesting, to cover. Atonement means to cover. So when Noah was building the ark, he pitched it on the outside and on the inside. That word pitch means atonement, or the same word is translated, to cover.
Yeah, right.
So it's complete. It had to be completely covered. You wouldn't want to allow one little spot in that boat that wasn't
right.
Pitched.
Amen.
It would you'd get a weeper, and that boat would sink, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, our boat sunk if we aren't covered.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
My boat sunk, and yours is too. But he told them to keep these feasts, and one of the feasts was the Passover. They were to look back to the time when God brought them out with a mighty hand out of slavery and out of bondage down in Egypt. And on the night before that 10th. Judgment was brought upon the land of Egypt, which was the death of the firstborn. God had told the children of Israel, I want you to take a lamb of the first year, a male lamb, and I want you to take it and bring it into your household. And on the 14th day, take the life of the lamb. And if the lamb, and then they were to cook it and prepare it, and they were to eat it that night, before they left out of the land of Egypt. And he said, if this lamb is too much for your household, then you're to gather together with the households next to you, and you're to take this lamb together. Because each household needed to be responsible for the death of the lamb.
Right.
Each household is responsible for the death of the lamb. Okay? So, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that he is our Passover. So if we think about the fact that they were celebrating year after year after year, the fact that they took the lamb,
They took the blood, they would put it on the doorpost and the lintel of their houses, so when God passed through the camp that night, He would see the blood and pass over their households where the blood was applied.
Right.
And in the places where the blood was not applied, death would come to the firstborn, all the way from Pharaoh to the very least of those in the land of Egypt.
Right.
Even to the livestock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Firstborn. So he instituted a Passover celebration. They were to celebrate it each and every year. Along with that, on the day after the Passover, you would get a 7-day feast of unleavened bread, where all the leaven was to be gotten out of their house. Again, we're looking at a picture and a type of the sinless Savior, the one that was out without leaven. Nothing that would make you puff up.
Right.
Nothing that would cause you to rise. he was that unleavened bread, my friend. He wasn't all puffed up. He was the pure thing. And 7 days they were to celebrate that. And the day after the Sabbath day of that year was the Feast of First Fruits. Also fell in that same week. There's a beautiful picture of all that when you begin to think of it. So now Christ comes along. What does He do? He's in Jerusalem in the third year of His ministry. And when did He go to Jerusalem? He was there to celebrate Passover.
Yeah. Right.
And just on the mark, my friends, they go, they round Him up. They put Him to death on the cross. He became, and when He arose from the dead 3 days later, He became the first fruits
right.
of them that slept.
Amen.
So you begin to see how these feasts that they were celebrating all down through the years, the Passover, celebrating that lamb that was to come. I always think when I think of that, I think about John the Baptist out baptizing in the wilderness, and Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And, you know, you can almost just see him. I don't know if he pointed or not. You know, the Bible, there's a lot of things the Bible doesn't say. But I can almost see him. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Right. Yeah.
He pointed him out. He knew exactly who he was and what he was coming for. He was coming to be the fulfillment of that Passover that they had been celebrating all down through the years. Pointing toward, because the one thing that we know, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer never could take away their sins. If there had been a law that could bring righteousness, verily righteousness would have come by the law.
Right.
There was no law that could bring forth righteousness, but Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law to a jot and to a tittle,
right.
Not to destroy the law or the prophets. So we pass on, and we'll go past this. We can think about the day of Pentecost and how that was a celebration of the giving of the law. 50 days later, that it happened right up the day of Pentecost happened on the same very day that the law had been given over there in Mount Sinai. When God had given the commandments to those people there, and there was 3,000 died that day, right? 3,000, and on Pentecost in the New Testament, there was 3,000 came to be joined. I'll tell you, there's a beautiful likeness of things. How God gave back again to the very things that had been taken away, and so we get over to the fall feast, and what do we have? We got one of these that I'm looking to the day that it might be fulfilled. But before heaven and earth passes away, it's going to be fulfilled. He talks about the day of trumpets. There's going to be a day when they had a day in the fall of the year. The only celebration of the Jewish feast that fell on the new moon. In the dark of the moon. Didn't happen at the full moon. Happened on the first day of the month. They were to celebrate on the seventh month of the year. They were to come and to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. And they would sound a trumpet throughout all the land. We'd also think about the day that one of these days there's going to be a day of Jubilee that's going to occur in the same time. Again, fulfilling the law to a jot and to a tittle. What was the year of Jubilee? They count seven sevens through the years. And on that 50th year, all the people who had gone into debt had lost their land.
Right.
They would get, their land would be returned to them, and they'd go home.
Yeah, right.
And it was just, debts were all wiped free.
Yeah.
They'd blow the trumpet in the land, the debts were wiped free, and everybody would go home. God had a perfect system all laid out to keep things balanced.
Amen.
To keep people from getting too greedy. over time. And so the Day of Atonement comes. The Feast of Trumpets. Then on the 10th day of the month, they had the Day of Atonement, when atonement would be made. You know, I'd be honest and say, you know, I can't say for, you know, I'll read one scripture to go with this, because he tells us in Romans, if I can get over there real quickly, Romans chapter 5, he makes this comment. He says, verse 10, if when we were enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being read the verse. You know, just think about what it says. You know, we celebrate the death of Christ on the cross, and how He shed His blood for us, and it saved us from our sins, right?
Right.
Listen to this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, the reconciliation, the debt, the balance sheet was balanced up by the blood of the cross, okay? He says, if when we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He said, you think it's wonderful that Christ wiped away your sin debt and saved you from eternal woe and misery. He says, much more being reconciled by His life. The fact He came forth from the tomb, what does it mean? It means you're going to live also. This world is not all there is. So He says, you may look and celebrate His death, but much more His life. The fact that He had power over death and hell and the grave, and He had power to raise up, take the dead and bring them back to life. And He has that power for you and me. Yes, He can find them in the depths of the ocean. He can find them wherever they are. Man, you might not... I made a comment, I told somebody one time, but at a funeral, I said, you know, people talk about God knows exactly where all of them are at. He's going to raise them from the dead and give them a new glorified body. And you know, and somebody said, well, how's He going to do that? I don't know. I don't know how He took the dust of the earth and made the first man. And breathed life into him. I don't know. But He's God and I'm not. And I don't have to know to believe it so.
Amen.
Okay? And so He tells us that, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
We've received the atonement. We've received the covering.
Yes.
There's an atonement that's been made. Well, what happened on the Day of Atonement? Well, once a year, the high priest would go in. He would first... Now I want you to understand, when you go back and look at things in the Old Testament, every picture, every type, every shadow... It's like I heard a preacher talk about one time. You know, he says, you know, when you see a shadow out here on the ground, he said, you know, it doesn't look exactly like the real thing. He said, now, if you've seen the real thing, you can kind of maybe look at the shadow and figure out what it looks like, but the shadow's not always exactly like the original. And neither are the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. Here's an example of that. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest first had to offer sacrifice for himself.
Yeah.
And cleanse himself before he could go and put on the white linen garments and go up and make atonement for the sins of the people. Mm-hmm. Right? Jesus didn't have to go atone for himself on the Day of Atonement, my friends. He didn't have any sin to be atoned for. The shadow's not quite like the picture, but there's enough there you can get it, okay? You can figure it out. On the Day of Atonement, not only would he offer sacrifice for himself, they'd bring two goats in before him. And one of them was the goat to the Lord, the sacrifice to the Lord. The other one is called the scapegoat. And the priest would lay his hands on him, and they would take him out into the wilderness and turn him loose into the sea of forgetfulness, to never be seen or remembered anymore. He would pictorially, if you will, visually take away the sins of the people.
Right.
And so what do we have? We come to the New Testament scripture. We've got Jesus going back and forth. You know, they were examining him that night. The Lamb of God was having his wool picked through.
Right.
To see if there was any blemish or any spot. Pilate says he didn't find fault with him. The high priest didn't really find a fault with him. He had to have somebody come and lie on him to get, in order to have him put to death. And when he brought him before the people, he's got two choices there. You had a sacrifice to God, and you had one that was turned loose.
Right.
He was guilty, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
You know his name. You know his name was. Y'all know it. His name was Barabbas. Barabbas, son of the Father.
Yeah.
His name means son of the Father.
Yeah.
The innocent son of the Father went to the cross. The guilty son of the Father was set free.
Amen. That's right.
Woo.
Yeah.
Now just look in the mirror.
Yeah. Yes.
The innocent son of the Father went to the cross for you and me, and me and you, the guilty ones, have been set free.
Amen.
On the day atonement was made that day, and they came along preaching. I can hear Paul, you know, preaching. He says, "You've now received the atonement." And the Hebrews say, "Well, atonement, it requires the high priest to make the offering." Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. There's no record of any kind of priesthood coming out of Judah. That could be not exactly correct, because there is over in Zechariah, there was a priest that was there was a king that was also anointed a priest over there by the name of Joshua, I believe his name was. But anyway, the priesthood, the high priesthood, was a Levitical, and it came from Aaron, and that was the lineage. And Christ was clearly of the tribe of Judah. But then there's this little obscure, you know, scripture back in the 110th Psalm where David prophesies that Jesus, this one that was going to come, the Messiah, would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Melchizedek mentioned in one chapter over there, in the 14th right. chapter of the book of Genesis. Kind of an obscure guy, an interesting guy. One who came out and offered and gave bread and wine to Abraham when Abraham was returning from conquering the kings that had carried Lot off into captivity. And Abraham's on the way back. And Melchizedek, which being interpreted means king of righteousness, was, and also king of Salem.
Right.
Because he was king over the land of Salem, or the area of Salem, which is now known as Jerusalem.
Yep.
This man who was a king of righteousness, a priest of the Most High God, king priest, came and gave bread and wine to Abraham on his return. And Jesus Christ is going to not be a high priest forever after the order of the Levites.
Right.
Because the Levites died. The Levites had to offer sacrifice year after year after year after year. But this man, this man came and offered himself once.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Having obtained eternal redemption for you and me. Fulfilling the priesthood, because he was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the priest king of the Old Testament, that mysterious man who by all appearances had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no end of life. His genealogy is not found in the scriptures.
Right. Amen.
Okay, we have no "he begat so and so." It's just Melchizedek, the priest king. Jesus Christ, my friends, was made a priest after that order.
Yeah.
One of these days, we're going to end up at, I think, that final celebration, because the final feast that's listed there in that fall feasts was the Feast of Tabernacles. The children of Israel would gather. They still do this over in Israel in the fall of the year. They build little booths out, little camping tents, if you want to call it. They build them little tents out there, and they go out and they camp out with God. After the trumpet sounds and after the atonement has been made complete, my friends, we're going to camp out with God. Just like God was with them in the wilderness, we're going to be with God forever and ever and ever. He came to, he didn't come to destroy the law.
No, he didn't.
He came to fulfill the law.
Right.
To a jot and to a tittle.
Right.
And you know what? This will be thought for another day. You know, and we haven't even talked about the laws of redemption.
Right.
He's our Redeemer, and He fulfilled the laws of redemption to a jot and to a tittle.
Yes, sir.
Because He's our elder brother.
Yeah.
We've been adopted into His family, Brother Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
We were adopted into His family that He might be our elder brother, and that He's the near kinsman that had the ability to pay the price.
Yes, sir.
You know what? We had some other kinsmen. Somebody by the flesh might say, I've got some near kinsmen. But they don't have the price.
Right.
May God bless you to think about that Old Testament. These scriptures are laid out in there. Just a little verse in there in Matthew in that Sermon on the Mount. I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. If you realize, if he didn't fulfill it to the uttermost, then, yeah, my friend, Jesus Christ was a liar, but He did fulfill it.
Right.
Our job is to figure out how He did.
Right.
And then rejoice in it. May God bless you. It's our prayer.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.